Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the good natured first quarter 2021 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during this session, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star 0. I would now like to hand the conference over to Spencer Churchill. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Erica. Hello and welcome to Good Natured's conference call regarding our Q1 results that were released earlier this morning. My name is Spencer Churchill. I'm Director of Investor Relations and Corporate Development here at Good Natured Products. Thank you for taking the time to join us and participate in our discussion of what we believe is another strong quarter of financial results for the company. I'm joined today by Paul Antoniadis, the Executive Chair and CEO of Good Natured, who will provide an overview of the quarter and commentary on the business and strategy. And I'm also joined by Kevin Leung, CFO of Good Natured, who will be speaking to the results in more detail. If you have not yet received a copy of the press release, you can access it on the Good Natured Investor website at www.investor.goodnaturedproducts.com. Following management's prepared remarks, there will be a Q&A session, for which instructions will be provided at that time. For those of you unable to listen to the entire call, a recording will be available in the recent events section of our investor website. Before I turn the call over to Paul, I'd like to remind listeners that management's prepared remarks contain forward-looking statements within the measure within the meaning of security laws, which are subject to risks and uncertainties, and management may make additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. These forward-looking statements include, but are not limited to, expectations surrounding future financial results, new orders and customer additions, new product launches, and M&A activity. We'll also be discussing certain non-GAAP financial measures on the call, the definitions for which can be found in the press release issued this morning. All financial results discussed in the call are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise noted. And I would now like to turn the meeting over to Paul.
Thank you, Spencer. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. First, let me start by saying how excited we are to deliver another quarter of strong financial results with revenue growth of almost 160% year-over-year, driven by our strategic acquisition of Shepherd Thermoforming and IPF completed in 2020. This performance gives us a sense of how materially we have sized up the company's revenue profile in a relatively short period. The acquisition of IPF in December 2020 added a company with $17 million in trailing 12 months revenue, which essentially doubled our reported revenues for 2020 on a pro forma basis. Our recently announced acquisition of Axtech generated approximately $33 million in revenue for the 2020 calendar year. Assuming a successful close, in just over 5 months, we have increased our revenue from $16.7 million reported for fiscal 2020 to approximately $65 million on a pro forma basis for 2020, or just under 300% growth over our reported $16.7 million for FY 2020. This achievement represents our team's ability in executing our growth strategy and on doing what we said we were going to do for our owners. The first quarter also featured a key financial milestone with positive EBITDA achieved for the first time in the company's history. This was accomplished despite some headwinds, including disruptions in key markets with COVID-19 variants, extreme weather-related events in southern U.S., and continued external cost inflations in our logistics and fulfillment operations. While we anticipate that these external inflationary costs will continue to rise through to the end of 2021, we have successfully implemented changes in our operation to ease these impacts. Outside of the strong financial performance, we continue to demonstrate our commitment to servicing our customers with innovation that widens the product choice that our customers can take to begin to switch to plant-based products. We expanded our ingredient options to include food-safe plant-based PET, or what we call bio-PET, a game-changing thermoform packaging material designed to successfully co-mingle in the recycling stream with 100% petroleum-based packaging. By securing a North American supply of bio-PET, we continue to make it easy and affordable by providing the market the widest possible choice of earth-friendly materials to begin their transition to sustainable plant-based packaging. We also launched a new innovative product to address the upcoming Canadian ban on single-use takeout containers, with our recently announced compostable microwavable to-go containers. We worked extensively on the stackable lid to make it spill and leak resistant. Only products that meet these stringent design requirements deserve a chance to succeed with consumers in the grocery store and restaurant food service marketplace. We believe our microwave to-go containers meets these requirements at an affordable price while providing retailers and consumers with a better design product. Our innovative approach to the business also extends to our operations. We have placed a deposit on a new high-speed extruder that is expected to be installed at our IPF facility later in Q3. With a sheet extrusion rate of approximately 2 times more material per hour over the existing extrusion equipment and at a similar operating cost profile, we will not only increase our production capacity, but improve our margin profile and increase our competitiveness in the market. It was also an active quarter on the new customer front. In January, we announced a fantastic, tasty customer, Better Bites Bakery, in the custom packing side of the business. Better Bites is an Austin, Texas-based producer of plant-based treats free from the top 8 allergens, with nationwide U.S. distribution supplying retailers such as Kroger, Whole Foods, SuperTarget, and Costco. This was a great example of a customer looking to extend their commitment to health all the way through to their packaging and was looking for a unique custom packaging solution, both of which we were able to provide. Overall, we are very pleased with our performance in the quarter, and I would like to thank the Good Nature team and our partners for their tremendous effort in driving the business forward. Our goals remain very clear. We are a growth company that is committed to delivering on our organic and acquisition growth initiatives while delivering consistent, stable gross margins and improved EBITDA on an annualized basis, which Kevin will highlight in a moment. The recently announced highly strategic and accretive acquisition of X-Tech Plastics positions the company to drive further substantial growth and improve profitability. In addition, new customer activity remains strong, and we are confident in our outlook for organic growth, highlighted by the aforementioned launch of Canada's first compostable microwavable to-go container. We believe our financial performance, acquisition execution, and commitment to organic growth through innovation and customer-centric approach demonstrates a high say-do ratio on our business strategy. This should separate us as an investment opportunity and help us reach our North Star, which has become North America's leading earth-friendly product company. I could not be more excited about what the future holds and for Good Natured and its owners. With that, I will hand it over to Kevin Leon, CFO of Good Natured, to talk through the financial results in more detail. Kevin?
Thank you, Paul, and hello, everyone. Revenue for Q1 2021 increased 159% to $7.9 million compared to $3.1 million for Q1 2020. Our revenue mix continues to diversify, with our top four customers representing 34% of total sales, compared to 49% for fiscal 2020 and 77% in Q1 2020. This was our first full quarter of contribution from the IPF acquisition. Since the close of the acquisition, the team at IPF have been very engaged, and we are pleased to announce that the Line 3 expansion is expected to be completed by the end of this month. As a result, annual production capacity at the IPF facility will be expanded by almost 15 to 20%. With the addition of IPF into the revenue mix, we are now reporting gross profit that includes manufacturing overhead and depreciation included in cost of goods sold. Hence, for comparative purposes with prior year results, we are disclosing variable gross profit, which excludes fixed production costs such as depreciation, repairs and maintenance, utilities, and similar overhead items. Beyond comparative purposes, we believe variable gross profit is an important metric for our owners to track, as it gives the truest sense of how per unit costs are trending on a quarterly basis, along with how our product sales mix, in-source versus outsource sales mix, and our customer sales mix is impacting our variable gross profit rate. Variable gross profit as a percentage of sales for Q1 2021 was 40.8%, a significant increase compared to a variable gross profit of 36.3% for Q1 2020. The variable gross profit percentage for Q1 2021 is at the high end of our expected range, and the increase is due to changes in product mix, customer mix, in-source versus outsource sales mix, and the addition of customers from the company's new acquisitions. Gross margin reflects the deduction of fixed factory overhead, which includes manufacturing equipment depreciation and allocated costs such as utilities, insurance, maintenance, and property taxes. Gross margins came in at 35.3% versus last year of 36.3%, reflecting our historic stable gross margin rates and was within our expected range. The increase in revenue and gross margin more than offset additional operating costs associated with the IPF acquisition. Additional investment in the business and external cost inflation with adjusted EBITDA coming in at a gain of $155,000 compared to an adjusted EBITDA loss of $308,000 for Q1 2020. Finally, the company incurred a net loss of $1.9 million in Q1 2021 compared to a net loss of $807,000 in Q1 2020. This was driven primarily by acquisition and finance costs. On the financing side, on March 4th, the company announced the close of our bought deal offering, raising gross proceeds of $23.1 million. It was a highly successful financing, having been upsized from $15 million and with the overallotment fully exercised. As part of this transaction, we also deleveraged the balance sheet with BDC, converting 2.5 million US of the company's existing long-term credit facility into 2.7 million common shares, while we use some of the proceeds to pay down a further 740,000 US in outstanding debt to BDC. Our balance sheet is the strongest it's ever been, as we ended the quarter with $70 million in total assets and just over $25 million in cash. This is more than sufficient to cover the announced cash portion of the X-Tech transaction and provide us with the firepower to continue executing our growth strategy. We also continue to look for ways to reduce our cash interest payments and enhance our liquidity to support future growth. I will now turn the call back over to Spencer.
Thanks, Kevin. Operator, could you now please give instructions for the Q&A session?
Yes, as a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Steve Hansen with Raymond James.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, Steve.
Just a couple for me, if I may. Paul, do you want to speak a little bit more just to the feedstock strategy and just how important that is from your perspective, you know, going forward? Just trying to understand, you know, what kind of competitive advantage it might give you in being able to secure some upstream feedstock in greater quantities, and just how you view that, in, you know, that relates to your broader deployment strategy here over time.
Yeah, I mean, I think our product authority or our choice to our customers starts with the materials, right? So, you know, we offer the widest range of materials that our customers can, you know, transition to plant-based products, which include our biodegradable line, which is our, you know, fully industrial compostable line, really focused on kind of that closed-loop focused customer. And then we have our, you know, our bioplastic line, which includes our bio-PET, or we like to reference it as a plant-based PET, and then we also have bio-HDP. Now, those materials can commingle 100% downstream with 100% petroleum products. So customers that are really focused on, hey, we want to make sure that we're, you know, supporting downstream recycling, although our biodegradables are fully recyclable, this gives them that choice. And then we have our fiber line. Some customers use all three. Some customers just focus on biodegradables. Some focus just on the plant-based PET products. But the fact that we offer that choice with all of our, you know, custom design options and stock options is a real advantage to us in the marketplace. Now, the one important piece that I want to highlight here on the call, which it kind of integrates with the acquisition strategy by including a plant-based PET, again, our bio-PET option, also helps widen our options for further acquisitions, because that can be a major material that we use to convert these acquisitions to our plant-based materials. As I've always mentioned, that, you know, we we kind of target an 18-month period in converting our acquisitions to a plant-based option. It could be earlier, it could be a little bit later, but that's kind of our target. And that the reason why we kind of give ourselves that time frame is, I don't go out and buy, for example, with X-Tech, I'm not going to go out and buy, 20 million pounds of plant-based material and park it at some warehouse anticipating acquisition. So it takes us some time to, build up that supply chain, inventory levels of our materials. But that's a real good question because the plant-based PET is a big component of our acquisition strategy. So just checking in, Steve, did I anything I missed there or anything you'd like just follow up on? Okay.
That's really helpful, Paul. Just another follow-up, how do you think about the integration now? You've done a number of acquisitions here over the last year. They look all, on their own merits, individually attractive. But as you start to sort of put these all together, how do you feel about the corporate capabilities that you've got now, just from an integration standpoint, a team standpoint, an ERP standpoint, just trying to understand the stitching of all that together and what kind of investments you might need to be making here going forward?
Yeah, I'm super excited about the X-Tech acquisition. That's going to position us as one of the largest sheet extruders in North America. I think once we get our high-speed line in place, and we intend to do the same thing at our X-Tech facility. We want to put another high-speed line there. Our capacity level is going to grow. It's at 80, 90 million pounds per year now. As we're sizing up the company, we're going to make some investments in people. We want to make sure that we, strengthen our back office. We want to make sure we brought in our sales team. Those are people investments to help us continue this growth trend. And we intend to put an ERP system in place. And I kind of balance that by saying, we're going to go with a, small to mid-sized enterprise cloud solution. Nothing it needs to be capital efficient, but also cost effective in delivering the technology strategy that we're putting into place. So these are things that we'll continue to, our owners will continue to see us taking action over the next couple quarters. But we should be very excited about it. Like, I've never been more excited. We've never been in a better position as a group, as a company. And, and that means that we're just going to need to strengthen our, I call it our growth base camp here for the next climb. So overall, it looks very, very promising.
That's great. And just the last one, and I'll do it back, sure. Is just, as we think about the product opportunity set from an M&A and or organic perspective going forward, you've clearly bulked up now in what I'll just call loosely the upstream industrial side. I mean, how should we think about the product evolution and the downstream side here going forward? Is that going to be the focus? And how should we think about the pace of that evolution?
Well, I mean, I think the acquisition of X-Tech and combining it with IPF, I mean, it should be a leading indicator that obviously the packaging area is something of great interest for us to grow, both organically and through acquisition. But we're also very focused on our general merchandise side of our business. Our model, as you well know, Steve, is really centered on all of our business groups, all the way down to category level. They got to be humming, right? They all got to be contributing to growth in order for the model to really be unlocked to its full potential. So, I would look at it as those are kind of two business groups of interest right now, and that's not just from an M&A perspective, but on a organic new product component like our fully our to-go containers as an example is an organic product that's really focused on driving our packaging business. So
that's great. And just actually, just because you mentioned it, is how has the uptake been on some of the new products like the microwavable packaging? Has it been good initially? I know it's early.
Well, I mean, I will tell you our inbounds, which I usually, as you know, when we chat, I look at it as leading indicators. Like when we made that announcement, we were overwhelmed with the interest level. So, I think we probably had north of 15 to 20 kind of in a range of inbounds, all kind of customers, U.S.-based, Canadian-based, large, multi you know, large food chains to independent grocers. So it was a good mix of interest. So we think we've got a good product there, but more to come. We have more exciting products beyond that. But the initial interest was very, very good. We're very pleased.
That's great. That's it for me. Appreciate it.
Your next question is from Ahmad Syed with Beacon International.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Maybe
good morning.
If you can help us maybe summarize all the capital investments that you guys are going through right now. I know there is Facet Equipment and IPF, potential investment in Shepherd. Maybe just help us wrap our head around all the initiatives on the investment front in your equipment, and what do you see that translating into end products for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, our capital investment in our IPF facility resides in the Line 3, which Kevin highlighted. We're nearing it. Getting on, you know, operating. I think, you know, end of this month or first week of June, we should be successfully up and running. I think it's definitely going to be this end of the month with some tweaking. And then, you know, we're going to, as we mentioned at the time we acquired IPF, we intend to put a high speed. We've deposited, we've made that commitment. We're going to use some equipment financing to support that. The payback on these machines are, you know, anywhere between, call it 14 to 20 month period, depending on how much existing business we migrate to it and how much we leave open for new. So that kind of drives the timing. The other area, obviously, is the X-Tech acquisition. We intend to, you know, put a portion of closing that transaction, which is on track. We're going to use some of our cash in our balance sheet, as we told our owners, like, we don't want to be sitting on the cash. We want to put the cash to work. And then the other real capital investments are kind of tied to customers with molds. Those are economic contracts between us and our customers. So there is some capital outlay. I wouldn't classify it as material. And then I think going forward, as the business grows, we're going to continue to, you know, put a high speed into, you know, X-Tech, a high-speed extruder in X-Tech, continue to, you know, put high-speed equipment into our thermoform packaging. You know, we want to modernize and advance our production capability in these high-speed machines, whether it's in packaging or extrusion over the next 2 to 3 years, just to, as we size up and we start, we want to be in a competitive position, and these high-speed machines do that for us, so. But I just want to make a note to the owners listening that, you know, we intend to use equipment financing to fund those equipment. So there's not a lot of initial cash outlay, and then we just build it into our make sure our costs, our costing and pricing factors in that financing. So it's no real cash demand on our balance sheet to get that equipment up and running.
That's great. That's great, color, Paul. Thanks. Thanks for that. That's it for most of my other questions have been answered. Congrats on the good quarter.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next question is from Lisa Springer with Singular Research.
Thank you. Hi, Paul. Could you comment on revenues from cross-selling during the quarter?
Yeah, I mean, we had really good cross-selling opportunities. Like, I think one of the hottest ones that, you know, kind of top of mind for me is, you know, we really did a big push on taking some existing product lines, which were deli tubs and deli clamshells, out of our Shepherd's facility. Like, those SKUs came from the acquisition. And we've had a really great response with those products, particularly cross-selling into the grocery segment. So, you know, I would always say that I'm happy with it. Always can be better. But I would say our net new business is also looks very, very strong. The demand on the upside of the V recovery is really picking up, particularly stateside. I think we're a little bit trailing the Americans up here in Canada, but That's also playing a big factor in, we're seeing good, really good recovery in the restaurant and hospitality sector. So that's also introducing net new business. I want to also point out with the cross-selling is we're seeing some uptick on reshoring too, because there's been some disruption with this imbalance on the ocean containers, and we're getting a high level of interest of from clients on addressing that issue by reshoring their packaging here in North America. So that's also a positive trend for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And my other question for you is, in terms of guidance, I know it's very difficult to give guidance right now, but I'm wondering if we might return to being given guidance by the company after the X-Tech acquisition is closed.
I don't think so. Like, if you look at, you know, there's some really good, your report's fantastic, but there's some really good analyst coverage out there, and from folks that like yourself. And I would just, you know, for owners and potential owners on the call, I would reference those reports. But, you know, and the reason why is look what's happened. Like, we've, you know, we basically have grown the company 300% in 5 months, and you know, we don't give guidance going forward. I usually say, hey, if you want to predict the future, look at our past behaviors, right? And, you know, that's the best way to kind of anticipate what's going to happen. We're very centered on being, our growth company commitment to our owners, and we intend to continue to deliver on that irrespective of the size of the company. Nothing changes in our strategy and our commitment to our owners.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Yep. You're welcome.
You do have an additional question in queue from Ahmad Fayez with Beacon International.
Hi, Paul. Just a follow-up. I know you guys are not 100% focused on EBITDA as long as it's improving year over year. But how should we view about the strong results of Q1 on the EBITDA line? I know you guys will be ramping up a little bit more as G&A with the new acquisitions. So should we think of Q1 as an exception? And just maybe a little bit more color on that and the strong gross margin as well. Is there any takeaways going forward for that?
Well, we don't want to give any guidance on the EBITDA other than, you know, we're going to continue to invest, right? So with the commitment of we're going to improve our EBITDA on an annual basis. So, you know, we're going to invest in people. We intend to put a new ERP system. Probably won't really start to implement that until, you know, I'm going to say Q4. We're investing in the readiness. You know, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly with these type of implementations, so I want to make sure it's not a distraction to our execution, and we're doing that by, you know, bringing on some people to make sure that they're focused on the implementation and while others execute on our business. So I know that doesn't answer your question, but it's just look at it as, you know, at the end of the year we're going to show an improvement in EBITDA, and some quarters are going to be better than others, but our focus is more on an annualized basis. We're not going to give quarterly guidance.
That's all I can hope for. Thanks for that. Appreciate the color.
Yep.
And there are no questions at this time. I'll go ahead and turn the call back over to Spencer Churchill for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. For those of you who didn't have the opportunity to ask a question or wish to ask a question offline, please send these to invest@goodnaturedproducts.com with your contact details, and we will respond promptly to you. Thank you to everyone for joining us, and have a great rest of the day.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.